I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to episode 327 of See You Next Wednesday, a film and pop culture podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on March 20th, 2019. My name is Dan Gorman. Attention, all honor students will be rewarded with a trip to an archaeological dig. Conversely, all detention students will be punished with a trip to an archaeological dig.
My name is Casey Lyons, and I've been in this business since Billy Crystal was doing blackface at the Oscars. Almost 5 years.
My name's Greg LeGros, and I'm a rad dude with a bad tude.
Oh. That was it.
That's just
that was more of a yeah, that was more of a proclamation.
I know. I saw that episode of Teen Titans Go, and it just tickled me to no end.
Oh, I love that show so much.
So good.
He peed himself and upon the floor. That is one of the funniest things I have ever heard.
I just want a cracker. Any cracker will do.
I love Cyborg so much.
So much.
I think Cyborg is my favorite.
That's very good. It was very strange when I was watching Titans.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Grown-up thing at the same time as watching Go with.
They're swearing.
With my daughter. Yeah. Lots of swearing and, like, the banging occasionally.
Yeah.
Which is. Yeah, it was a strange little back and forth. I don't know. Anyway.
This week, we have lots to talk about Captain
Sounds
Marvel.
Like sex, all right.
Captain Marvel and Film Roulette and What Lies Ahead as the punishment film, as well as a punishment album. We'll get to all that. info@modernsuperior.com is where you can email us if you'd like to send us anything. And iTunes, you can rate and review us, or SYNWPC on Facebook and Twitter. Our new episodes, when they go live, get pushed to both of those places, so you'll always know when we are giving you an episode.
Always.
Always.
Yeah. No.
What's going on?
What? The weather's changing.
Yeah.
Finally. Yeah, well, it's changing and then changing back.
Yes, yeah. It's going to snow on Friday.
Oh. The weather's a fuckhead. What? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
I fucking.
Yeah. But then it'll be warm on Saturday, apparently.
Yeah. Do we want to get straight into news?
News.
Yeah, there's news. Yeah.
There is news.
I got two Star Wars related news this week.
I don't know any of them.
Yeah, I don't know that, so this is going to be very surprising for me. I'm going to be like, what?
Okay, so first one is a rumor.
What?
That's not news.
That's not technically news.
What do you got?
Yeah. Coming from Slash Film. Star Wars movies from Game of Thrones creators may head to the Old Republic.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah? What's that about?
It's
is that something
Star
that'll be
Wars
good? I don't
movie
know.
Movie based on a video game, I guess.
Yeah, Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't want Game of Thrones in my Star Wars.
No, nor do I. It would be like Star Wars, but boring.
Yeah, or like overly kind of like, I don't know. I guess they wouldn't try and just like grit it up or whatever. They could maybe they would take a good angle on it. But yeah, I don't know too much else from them other than what Game of Thrones is, which is fine, but
wildly
not for,
successful TV show that has captured the minds of
totally
people.
Well, people love it.
Yeah,
but what I
they're
know
not going to make the Star Wars characters do things on horses and you know
they're going to be fucking their brothers and their moms.
Yeah, like
it's not going to be Game of Thrones featuring Star Wars characters. I think it'll be okay. Clearly, these people can run our show fine.
Totally. Yeah.
No.
It would be interesting.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm all for...
No.
Maybe it'll be Star Wars with more dragons.
I feel like... No.
I'm
fuck dragons.
I'm honestly all for doing things like, hey, there was this game, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Like the extended universe stuff. Like, go over there and play.
People friggin' love that extended universe stuff. Like, and take a lot of video game stuff as canon. So, you know, whether Pablo Hidalgo says so or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm interested. I'll see. I don't really know that much about any of that extended universe stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why everybody loves Thrawn so much. But actually, officially, I'm not on board with the Game of Thrones guys doing it. But actually, I think that would be pretty cool because they seem to be really cool, like really good into world building.
Yeah, yeah.
And
totally.
Now maybe George Martin has something to do with that. I never read those books, nor do I care to. But I don't know. There's got to be something there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. What's the other one?
Oh, Star Wars. The other one. Yeah. Oh, you want some more speculation, I hope. Movie Hole has a scoop involving the potential Ewoks TV show on Disney Plus.
Is it live action? What's going on?
It just says their source claims Disney is secretly working on other Star Wars projects that'll premiere on the small screen. One of those upcoming will feature the return of the Ewoks.
They don't talk. That's going to be that's a terrible idea.
Wrong. That's a great idea. I think if the Ewok specials have taught us anything, it's that the Ewoks belong on television, preferably with Wilford Brimley.
Well, they got to bring that song from the cartoon back then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We are the E. Very good song, right?
Yeah. I mean, it might not be an Ewok show. It might just be a show and they happen to have some Ewoks in there.
Well, I don't think this is a good idea at all.
You think it'd be like just like a regular like Sex in the City, but sometimes there's an Ewok?
Are you going to watch a whole half hour, hour long show of Ewok subtitles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or I mean, no subtitles at all. Let me guess what they're
like
saying.
Make it like a nature program.
Yeah.
You just watch them walk about.
Hey, we see the Ewoks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yub Ewok nub potential. Yub nub, my friend.
Yub nub.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the poster for the Tarantino film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah. I saw that. Two guys standing there.
Quote, unquote, poster.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like, it looks like I made it.
Yeah.
In Photoshop, and I'm not good at Photoshop.
No. I don't know. I don't care about it either way. It's just weird that everyone's like, here's the poster.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, I know those two guys.
I saw one of the titles that Tarantino's new poster for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood takes us right back to the 60s.
Yeah, I'm like, no,
what?
It doesn't.
Because the 60s.
Posters didn't look like this in the 60s.
At all. Like,
it should be
okay,
a drawing.
Granted, Photoshop wasn't good in the 60s. Maybe that's what they meant.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that? somebody photoshopped the How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days poster, but split it down the middle and put them leaning on.
That is great.
On the two leads, yeah, so good. it takes you right back to the 60s where they had a car.
Yeah, remember cars?
Yeah,
what a blast from the past.
The Hollywood
was.
Sign.
Yeah,
and they liked standing and leaning back then. Yeah,
boy,
so
did
weird.
They ever.
It's just like why. Not make a poster for
like
it's Tarantino.
Yeah,
like I honestly,
well, I mean, like I feel like he's never been known for his posters. Like aside from the Pulp Fiction poster, which is pretty iconic, I guess.
But I feel like Hateful Eight and Django, they all like had posters that were like, this is the style of the movie,
yeah,
and true. Here's the style of the poster.
Yeah,
yeah, this is a pretty lame-o poster.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a big zero.
It's
that
it's,
said, I am in. Insanely excited about this movie.
Yeah,
the cast there's about 150,000 people and they're all really cool.
Yeah.
And you'll notice on IMDb the first name in the cast, which is a little sad, is Luke Perry. I had no idea Luke Perry was in this movie.
No, I didn't know either. Wow.
That's crazy.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. I have some sad news.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing special effects legend, John Carl Beekler, passed away. He did stuff for Reanimator. He did Nightmare on Elm Street 4, Halloween 4, Ghoulies, From Beyond. He directed...
Oh, he was right in there with the Stuart Gordon, Brian Yudman world.
He directed Friday 13th, New Blood. Directed Troll. He directed Cellar Dweller, which we did on Time Bandits.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, effects work for Trancers, Terror Vision. If there was a, like... creature in the 80s or a monster in the 80s or some movie with like cool effects in the 80s, he was probably involved with it.
Cellar Dweller.
We did a Time Bandits episode
I can't remember the movie.
Yeah, it was like somebody in it was a comic book, I feel like, writer or animator or whatever, and like something came out and it was in his like cabin in the basement or some shit. It was kind of like a Ghoulies thing where it was like a monster running around, I feel like.
Yeah, I keep on, my brain keeps on flipping to Castle Freak instead.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm like, that movie's stupid too.
Yeah.
The big twist is, he ain't got no dick. Oh no,
it's the exact opposite of The Crying Game.
So that's a bummer.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the spoilers on Castle Freak.
Yeah.
He ain't got no dick.
Yeah. Also, sorry to the Castle Freak.
Yeah.
He seems very irate about it.
I remember that poster
for
Cellar Dweller.
Stem from that.
Little person.
Oh,
that's
a nice poster.
Yeah. Big in the New World Pictures, Roger Corman stuff, and then, the Empire. Yeah, super sad. He was a legend. Yeah. And I swear to God, I love Friday the 13th, The New Blood. Suffers obviously because that was one of the worst for the cuts from the MPAA. It's like almost bloodless, but I love
that
movie.
Sorry?
Friday the 13th, The New Blood.
Oh yeah,
where he's super kind of monstery, and then
Should
he fights
in the No Blood.
Yeah,
yeah. Nice. Yeah. Hey. Right, yeah. Daniel. Dan.
Yeah. I like it.
Oh, Cellar Dweller was written by Don Mancini.
Oh, interesting. I wonder. Mm. If I should watch it again.
No.
No.
Yeah.
And there's James Gunn's back to Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yep.
I didn't think that was going to happen, so that's pretty
totally.
Pretty unexpected.
I would have no reason to expect that would happen.
No. Well,
Disney would go back on their word.
Well, this cast he's lining up, what he's got going on with this Suicide Squad reboot, I think they went... Fuck. Because you replace Will Smith with Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Pretty good. And the characters he's lining up for his Suicide Squad squad.
Yeah.
Like he's
Suicide
got,
Squad.
Yeah. Squad goals. He's Fact got... the thing that I'm most excited about is he's got King Shark in there, which is the giant shark man.
Sure.
So, a movie starring Idris Elba and a giant shark man is instantly already a pretty good movie. I think, it just shows his creative touch. Like, they had all of these characters to work with when they tried to do this the first time, and they weren't thinking of fun, insane characters. Like, he knows how to work with that world really absurd
definitely.
Stuff and really blow them up. So he's like, I can pick whatever squad I want. All right, give me these fucking insane characters, and let's make a nuts movie. You know, I don't know. I don't know if the one thing has anything to do with the other, but there's a lot of news bubbling up about how he's handling Suicide Squad and how good it feels like it's going to be.
So Idris Elba's playing Deadshot?
Yeah. That's what, as far as I read in the articles, that he was the replacement for Will Smith, who, scheduling reasons, couldn't do it.
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
He was busy with Aladdin.
Yeah. Dear Lord. And I think that's great. I don't know how people generally, everyone I know anyway, feels like, put him back in there. It's a silly thing, to have been fired over.
Yeah, I think my perspective on that is still like, if he hadn't, already apologized, there were times in the past where he got out in front of that stuff of being like, I was a fucking idiot, like, I shouldn't have written that, like, I was trying to do this, but it didn't work, and I'm sorry, and I'm trying to move past it.
Yeah, and like, the climate of comedy was different, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
The pool was a much different temperature.
I mean, you could go and watch Tromeo and Juliet and be like, James Gunn wrote this, and there's a whole lot of shit in there that's probably super offensive now.
Sure.
You know, or whatever.
Or there's all those Disney movies that are fucking racist.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, so I feel like in
That's fun. why doesn't Disney fire themselves?
Yeah. Well, that was when the news of they're like, we're going to have everything out of the vault. People were like, everything? Really?
James Gunn to direct Song of the South, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm excited about. It's cool that we get both of them. That's the coolest
thing. Isn't
that great?
What a win-win for film fans.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I was talking to Emma when we were after we saw Captain Marvel. She was talking about the X-Men movies, and it came up again. Like, I don't understand why at this point with so many X-Men movies, there haven't been more like X-Men movies with other X-Men teams. Like, I want more stuff like that where you can play in the same world, but then bring in people that I'm not used to. Like, that's why you talking about Suicide Squad from Gunn sounds exciting to me, because I'm like, show me the stuff I don't know about.
Yeah.
I want to see the cool characters I've never heard of.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The X-Men, and there's so many X-Men.
Yeah.
But they really are.
But we've
just
only got like five
classic.
Or six or seven. Yeah. Totally.
But I guess, we're getting a bit of that with a New Mutants movie.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're all done with their X-Men run anyway. It's over.
Yeah.
Up with Dark Phoenix, and then hopefully people who understand the medium will do it.
Yeah. Do you guys have any other news or trailers or anything? Or straight to what we've been watching?
I finally saw the trailer for Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too.
I had not seen.
Yeah.
And I heard some people talking about Blubberdeer looking stupid. I'm like, it looks fucking
the
stupid.
Fuck are you?
Get me in there.
What did you want?
Yeah, it looks like Tango and Cash sometimes. I'm like, I am into this.
Oh yeah, it looks like a superhero movie.
And it looks like two people who can really pull off a Tango and Cash thing.
Even there's even a scene where they're chained up and going to get electrocuted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it. That's going to be fun. Yeah.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
That adds Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Fuck not.
That's going to be fucking A-okay.
When we saw Captain Marvel after that trailer, like, I looked over to Emma and she looked over to me, and, like, at the same time, I was like, that looks awesome. She was like, that looks stupid. And I was like, what? Uh-huh. We were both surprised.
And you were both right.
Yes. Awesome, stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait. That's going to be a good time.
Totally. What have you guys been watching then?
I have been really watching a hell of a lot of documentaries lately.
Yeah.
Finished up Beyond the Curve, Behind the
Glass. Yeah, me too.
So you watched the rest of it.
What a wonderful ending.
What a wonderful ending.
Oh, goodness, it's so good.
Maybe there were some shrubs in the way. I just love, it's like, it's not coming. You have it held up. The lasers should be coming through. Interesting.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that is a good time. I like that documentary because it does just get out of the way. It just lets them do their. It doesn't take a stance.
It does it
in a way that doesn't feel like gross. Like,
no, they're just like, we'll turn the cameras on. Yeah. You tell us what's up.
Yeah, we'll give you the rope.
Yeah,
you do the exactly. Rope. Yeah, yeah,
which is great. And then I watched another documentary that really dovetails. In a really upsetting way with that flat earth thing called Alt-Right Age of Rage.
Oh, I've seen that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's a nightmare.
It's you want to hate everything, you want to hate the world, watch this documentary.
Yeah, that one was pretty good. I feel like Emma and I watched that. It was on Netflix. So if you want to check it out, it's on Netflix. I would definitely say it's worth a watch. I just feel like now I've also seen a bunch of like Vice documentaries about the alt-right and stuff, and I'm starting to get to the point where it's like, stop showing us them, like, just like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, the important thing isn't the alt-right, it's like getting rid of the, I don't know, like, there's been a lot of just like, let's go check out what the alt-right's about, you know? And, after you've done that a couple times, it's like, yo, just stop giving them
more,
that.
No
vision.
More exposure.
Yeah.
But that's what I liked about this was that it it was less just about the alt-right, and it was about the alt-right, but it was also about the Antifa.
Totally. Because you follow reaction. Like, one person on both sides.
And you kind of see, like, I did not think that Antifa came out well in that documentary either. And yet at the same time, you see the futility of what they're doing, but you also very much see how both of them got there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
It's frustrating. It's a very frustrating.
And it's one of those movies where, you know, it was shot before some pretty horrific things happen, and like the horrific things that happened in the movie we already know happened.
Yeah.
So there's that element of like, we're gonna go to the march and see what's happening, and you're like, I know what happened at the march. That's fucking nightmare.
Let's not go to the march.
Yeah. So it has that like just awful just gut feeling where you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
I like that it doesn't that it fully says like listen, Donald Trump is firmly in one of these camps.
Yeah.
So just
it's fuck. Did you guys see that shit after the day after the shooting, and he was like saying stuff on TV, and I can't remember what he said, but it was just like he was like, oh, I don't know enough about that to, like, comment on it. And you're like, just yes,
you're the
fucking
president,
do.
You dumb piece of shit.
Yeah, because he was talking about, like, the border stuff, like, the day after that shooting happened. And he was talking about it being, like, an invasion. Just being, like, using their language. It's an invasion. We're being replaced. Just like, fuck. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, nightmare.
If there is one bright spot in that documentary, it is the footage, and you see it a couple times, of Dick Spencer getting punched in the head.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alt-right Age of Rage?
Age of Rage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like a video game.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. What did I finished Leaving Neverland.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about another.
Let's keep it dark.
Really hard thing to watch.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know. Well, not funny, but it's interesting. His image was terrible up to his death. It was bad. He was Wacko Jacko. We all were like, fucking. It was bad. No one wanted anything to do with the music. People were really shying away. And he died. And it was just so weird that he was dead. Everyone kind of like, they rebranded him very well without him being there to make it difficult to do that.
Yeah.
And we all just kind of got comfortable with the tunes again.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I think we were all just like, let's put it all to bed.
Right.
And
right.
Just enjoy the nostalgia,
which was easy to do. And but then so now this coming out, like, yeah, it's just that. It's not the exact same thing. Well, it's similar, but like, because the Cosby stuff came up once and then went away, and then Hannibal Buress was like, "Hey, remember?
Yeah, how about we don't let this go away?"
Yeah, yeah. So, and this is similar. I feel like, and great. It's a tough watch. It's hard, and those two guys are really brave.
Yeah, it almost comes off more like, you know, they went on trial and they, you know, were dealing with what they were dealing with and have said what they said in support of Michael. And I feel it's almost like now they get to have the testimonial where they can say,
like
this is, like,
well, they said whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, you know, first off, they were still under the influence of somebody.
Yeah.
And scared. And also, do you know how many men admit that they've been molested?
Yeah.
Not very fucking many.
Yeah.
So, it's not easy for them to come forward with that. And, and these aren't, weren't paid for the documentary.
Yeah.
There's no upcoming suing that can happen from this. And it's not like, you know, they, Wade, whatever.
Yeah,
the choreographer. He doesn't need the. He's wildly successful. He's a television personality. Man, they're both married with kids. Like, it's just, you know, there's nothing to gain here except shedding light on something.
Totally,
and it's a rough watch. It's
hard. I love it when people use that. Like, oh, these people are just trying to get famous or whatever.
It's like,
because you know how famous, you know, all the women who came forward against, like, Harvey Weinstein? Mm-hmm. Well, you know how they're all famous now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're all fucking household names.
Yeah, totally. And the, like, you know, Jackson family obviously coming out and saying, like, this isn't true. And there was a lot of people saying, like, well, why didn't they do any interviews with them? And it's like, yeah, why would they go interview people that are obviously just going to say that didn't happen? And, like, that's not going to bring anything to this movie.
No.
Having
that's not
them,
what this is about.
Yeah. And, like, the only people that know what happened in those rooms are Michael and them, and now they get to say, this is what happened, like, from our, like, yeah. All the stuff, like, that came out, like, they're just, like, coming in for their money. They already said their stuff on the, like, that's the only defense they have. Like, they already went up on and lied, and it's like, how can you not understand the psychological shit you would be going through?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. Yeah. It was rough, yeah. but essential. Like,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Cool. What other depressing things?
Jesus Christ. Hey, guess what I watched?
What?
Little Italy.
Oh, why would you do that?
What the fuck is wrong with you? That episode was over. You didn't have to do that.
I know, but Athena and I wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
I was just curious. And man, that is a bad movie.
It's pretty bad.
It looks horrible all the time. It's shot poorly. The dressing is awful. Like, everything looks shabby and amateurish. And it's like the same guy did Mystic Pizza, like, yeah. no hits for a long time. He's like, I gotta get back to the basics. I gotta get to the pizza movies. That's all I know.
Yeah.
You tried to lessen the Italian-ness of what you said, but your shoulders did a very Italian thing.
But listen, you know who didn't go light on the Italian accents? Everybody in this movie.
I know.
And it shot right next to Little Italy in Toronto. Yeah.
Where is it? So
it shot right outside of Rancho.
Yeah, it's
is
like
that right?
By where Kaplansky's was and stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
On college.
Yeah. That's not Little Italy.
I know. And the depiction of Toronto's Little Italy in this movie is people standing outside of their pizza shops like, hey, yo, paisan, screaming at each other. But it's not a thing. It's not like that. We just have an Italian area.
Yeah.
And with, you know, anyway. So that's all
standing
funny.
Standing outside of the cell phone store.
Yeah. And the story is incredibly stupid. and it's really like, and Emma Roberts and
Hayden
Christensen are supposed to be the same age, which is funny because they are not.
Well, he's an older gentleman and she's a younger lady.
Yeah, he's almost 40 and she's like 25 or something. And so it looks weird because like he's still got boyish features, but they aren't trying to make her close to his age. They're trying to make him close to her age.
That's
and it looks funny because he's dressed all like he's still young and stuff like that. But he's aging. But he looks like he's aging like if it was a high school production and they needed a teenager to look like he was 70.
Yeah.
These hard lines and I don't know what was going on, but he looked weird. And it's a strange movie that ends like all the tropes are there, but it's so funny like that it ends in a they're mad at each other for some reason.
Yeah,
because it's not like he's a dick or anything. Like she's just being weird and irrational with him, and then they have a pizza cook off versus each other, and then he has to chase her to the airport, and the movie's over.
Yeah,
it's like, what a... It was startling.
Yeah.
And it, like uncomfortable all the time for how weird the pace was and just how amateurish it felt. Like it was stunning. There was something else that really bothered me in it. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was a very bad movie.
It's bad.
Yeah. Well,
see, in the family's
that's your own fucking fault for watching.
Yeah. I laughed a lot. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, pretty entertaining bad, but
yeah. I don't know. And that guy, that fucking, what's his name? He's a comic who plays her dad.
Oh.
I can't stand him.
Well, the Hayden Christensen stuff is weird because I feel like they have him kind of like fake tanned up.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Like, and that accentuates the natural age on his face.
Yeah.
And makes it look fucking weird.
Yeah.
Adam Ferreira.
Who's that?
He's a stand-up comic turned actor. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I remember his comedy from like Evening at the Improv and Junk when I was when I was young. And I fucking hate his comedy. It stinks. Anyway,
yeah, he doesn't look funny.
No, he certainly doesn't. Yeah, it's a confusing film.
Yeah,
it is very bad.
Check it out.
Yeah, check it out. You want to have a bad time?
Yeah,
yeah. I'm probably gonna watch it this week for some.
how was
the cream cheese lady? She good or no?
Oh, I don't know. She's doing overacting fucking weird thing too. And it's crazy. The plot is like these families fucking hate each other so much because the dough guy and the sauce guy were partners. And then they went to a pizza competition together.
Had an
argument. And they couldn't decide on the name
for the pizza, so they fucking now they want to like murder each other, and it's been like 15 years of this.
I want to call it pizza.
Yeah. But they have but they have side door by door, side by side.
Yeah, next door, and they try and sabotage each other, but in a way like where the one guy, what he does is he puts weed all over the other guy's pizza, so everyone eats and they all get high and they get arrested for serving
for
weed
serving
pizza.
Weed.
And I'm like, this is getting that's not anyway.
Yeah. That's
and they're all like, oopsie doops, I guess you got me arrested on drug charges, you fucking psycho.
Like as an idea for a movie, it's the kind of idea that's hey, what if it was a chick and then they put like weed all over the pizza in the room, you'd be like, yeah. and then you try to change the subject.
Yeah.
They fucking ran.
Listen, I got an idea. She's going to leave, so he's got to run to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say yes because it's time for lunch.
Yeah. And for a movie that's very much about pizza, they don't spend really, like, any time with any kind of like food attention.
Yeah, it's not like Chef or whatever by Jon Favreau. It's not like interested in food.
Yeah, yeah. It needs food porn. It really does.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Or just porn.
Yeah. It's got to porn every 10 minutes.
That's the director's cut.
Yeah, yeah.
In the commentary. See, I got bored here, so I spliced in some porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got bored here and horny.
Yeah.
So I...
porny.
Thank you for that portmanteau.
Very nice. Yeah, it's weird because no one's motivations really make any sense.
Yeah,
is the other thing. It's a very strange time. Yeah, it's remarkable how amateurish it is.
Yeah,
like it really doesn't look like something that was made by professional people.
Yeah. Little Italy. Speaking of check it out, mm-hmm. I watched a movie that I think people should check out.
Okay.
It is called Tyrell, and it's directed by Sebastian Silva, and it stars Jason Mitchell. There's a bunch of people in this. Michael Cera's in here as well as Caleb Landry Jones, who we saw in Get Out.
Yeah.
Now, this movie...
Wait, Caleb Landry Jones was... Oh, he played
the brother.
Right.
So...
He's great. He pops up in a lot of things.
Yeah. So this movie is getting a lot of sort of comparisons to Get Out because the framework of the plot is very similar. It's about a guy played by Jason Mitchell who joins his friend. They're going to like a cabin for a friend's birthday, and he gets there and he kind of realizes that like everybody there is like a white dude, and you know, it's not a horror movie, so like I understand why people would be like, it's like Get Out, because that's, you know, the log line of it is like a person goes somewhere and everyone else is white. But it's totally a different take on that. But also kind of anxiety and sort of like suspense inducing, even though it is just like a hangout movie. Like he goes there, there's all these people, like he doesn't really get along with everyone. He's starting to have this kind of like social anxiety sort of spiraling, and you're just kind of watching him like absorb all this stuff with these guys, and they're all kind of like douchey. But
it's like every movie ever made, but from the black guy's perspective?
Yes. Right. And it's and it's really like, I don't know a movie off the top of my head that has captured like what it feels like, even just to be somebody in a party with people that you don't know, and you're just kind of standing there and you're like, you don't know, you're getting that anxiety. Like this movie, the way it's shot, it captures the like social anxiety so perfectly.
Yeah.
Like so well. And it just kind of goes and goes. And there is one scene where everybody is singing REM, and he's like not sure what to do about it, and it like kind of gets freaky. Like you're almost, it starts to be scary in a weird way.
That's great.
Yeah, and it also has Roddy Bottom.
Yeah, you mentioned, you were like, I'm watching a movie with Roddy Bottom in it, and I was like, that's not a thing that happens. What the hell are you talking about? This is his first acting role, it looks
and
like.
Let me tell you, he is great.
Is he really?
But also, I spent so much of the movie, for the first chunk of the movie, I was like, he looks exactly like Matt Walsh.
That's funny. I could definitely see that.
And the way that they have him dressed, he's kind of comedic in moments. And I was like, is that Matt Walsh? And I looked it up, and I was like, no, holy shit, it's Roddy Bottom from fucking Faith No More.
Yeah,
yeah, he's
that's
great in it.
That's fucking wicked.
Michael Cera is actually really good in it.
Mm-hmm. It's, what's his name? De Silva or Silva?
Sebastian Silva. Yeah. So he did Crystal Fairy and Magic Magic. I've never seen any of his other movies. He works a lot with Michael Cera. But so this movie, some people might hate it the way it's shot. It kind of has like a fish eye lens look to it. And it really started to like kind of put me off kilter. But it's a really good movie. It's funny at times. And, you know, there's not a lot of, like, not a lot happens. It is just kind of a character movie. Mm-hmm. But I definitely feel like it's flying under the radar.
I'll check that out.
Yeah,
that sounds cool.
It's really, really good. Yeah, I really liked it.
Nice.
Tyrell, yeah, definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. What else?
Casey.
What?
What else?
Okay, well, real quick, I watched about 10 to 15 minutes of Christopher Robin. Because we wanted to see that. Yeah, like let's have our family movie night, so we'll watch that movie and then we turn it off because it's fucking boring.
I put it on for Zoe. I wasn't paying attention, but she was like, "Can I watch something else?"
Yeah. Well, we put it on. We're like, "Well, this movie isn't really for kids.
Yeah,
but it's also not for adults. Mm-hmm. This movie is not for anyone."
I really want to see it, but yeah, I'm not going
to. I had a feeling it might be that.
Hold my answer, nothing. Hope but out. I did watch another. You know what? I'll go to this. Break up the documentaries.
Okay.
I watched the first episode of Afterlife.
I want to watch it because the reviews are so good, but I'm so off Ricky.
Yeah.
So what's up?
That's me too.
Listen, there's a lot to not like about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's thin and hollow, like a Ricky Gervais thing without Steve.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first Ricky Gervais thing that I've seen where I'm like, I'm going to continue this.
Okay.
Because there's things about it that I like.
It's getting universal acclaim, pretty much.
I gotta watch more of it.
Yeah,
but I watched the trailer
and I was like,
It's really noticeable. It's so hard to watch a Ricky Gervais thing after The Office and Extras because there's so much there because there's a lot of heart to it.
Yeah,
and that's. Because it's fleshed out with other characters. And again, Stephen Merchant is a great fucking writer.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais is not a great writer. but he is funny. It can be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And this tries for a little bit more pathos than it can pull off. But it was likable enough, and I want to like Ricky Gervais again because he was so instrumental to me for a long time, with the podcast and like the old XFM show and everything. I will always have time. I'll always give him a try.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
Me.
What else?
That's a Molly's Game.
Oh.
I watched some of that.
I can't remember if I saw that or not.
I feel like you'd remember. It's a really good movie.
Yeah?
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I was surprised it didn't have more attention when it came out. So you got big name actors.
Yeah.
A lot of like...
It got really good reviews,
speeches.
But it didn't seem to stick around.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a crazy interesting story. It just comes out of the gates really fast. The first the first like 5-10 minutes are just cracking, and it's great, and it holds the pace. It's got that Sorkin dialogue, so it really feels high energy the whole time. And if people don't know, it's about the true story of Molly Bloom, who had high stakes, super high profile poker game going on with all kinds of actors and athletes and stuff like that, and everything went sideways and bad. Anyway. And Michael Cera is playing Tobey Maguire, who's apparently quite a dick.
that I found very entertaining.
Yeah.
First of all, I loved Michael Cera playing a dick.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
And also the knowledge that he was playing a thin veil of Tobey Maguire. That was a lot of fun.
It's fun
to hate Tobey Maguire. He sucks.
It's a super good movie. Really entertaining. It had just the dynamite pace, and it's a really, really interesting story.
It was nominated for an Oscar.
Was it?
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah, just best adapted screenplay.
I see.
Mm.
It's good speech writing from Sorkin, who's really good at flashy speeches, and you have two people who are really good at giving them. So,
Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba.
Yeah. Idris Elba has like two or three like dynamite. Here comes the speeches.
Yeah.
Very good.
Speaking of Michael Cera, I just feel like he's been making like really cool choices and has been doing really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I like
his career.
He's been in a lot of things in the past like year or two since This Is the End in 2013. If you scroll through his stuff, it's a lot of just like interesting indie movies, maybe some indie movies that didn't work so well.
Right.
But like, and then voices and like Sausage Party and Lego, but then yeah, like Molly's Game, Tyrell, like
yeah,
interesting little side roles.
I think
roles.
He's got. I think he has to kind of Kevin Bacon his way through this, yeah. You know, and because he's just so recognizable,
yeah.
as George Michael.
Yeah, and I like that he's kind of been able to bounce off that in a way that isn't like I don't want to do that, but it also is just like I'm going to do these interesting roles where like one of them I'm going to be a dick or I don't know something about Really quickly, I want to talk back to the documentaries. Greg, you mentioned something relating to drag today on Facebook about the YouTube show.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah. It's like I don't post on Facebook.
Yeah. and it reminded me that I watched like a week ago or so Paris is Burning for the first time.
The
1990 film about drag in New York City.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
Holy shit. It is so good.
Was it nominated for Oscars and stuff?
Yeah. It's one of those things that I've heard about for a long time.
Yeah, I know
I've
the name. And
known that it's like an essential in the world of drag. But, you know, everything that goes on in the world of drag goes all the way back to here from, you know, all the catchphrases and all the types of things that they say and all the different categories and stuff that they do. The most interesting thing to me was that I didn't realize that way back in the late 80s when they were doing this type of drag, they also did drag where the category was to pass as a male. So they would do like who can do the realest woman and then who can do the realest like macho guy. And that was really awesome.
What? Really?
Yeah, like who can like pass as like I'm just a dude. Yeah. And it's really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great movie and the characters in it are so great that you want to live with them forever and watch the movie forever and they're so
cool.
But it's fucking sad. There's a couple parts in it that oh my god. Yeah, they drop a bomb on you. because you know, it was the late 80s.
It's a dark time there.
AIDS and
it's
a really, really good
watch
movie.
That. Cool.
Yeah. Definitely watch it if you have never seen it. It's wonderful and it's such an interesting look. Like, you know, you kind of see some of the like 60s showgirl kind of drag stuff coming, you know, into this new era. Yeah, it's really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Paris is Burning.
Nice.
Can't recommend it enough if you're interested at all in drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess what Dan was talking about that I mentioned to him was what I've been watching too. So season 11 of Drag Race, obviously. But then I've started watching the YouTube series with Trixie Mattel and Katya.
Yeah.
And more Katya is always the best because Katya is the fucking greatest. So funny.
Yeah. I got to watch it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's very good. They're really short episodes. They're all like 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
And whatever. But yeah, if you're a fan of Katya, which I think if anyone's ever watched Drag Race.
Yeah, totally.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very good. And I like Trixie Mattel more now, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And she was always fine, but.
What do you
think
of the new season?
I don't think she should have won All-Stars.
Huh? What do you think of season 11?
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the episodes I found particularly funny. I just like the wit was real sharp, so.
Yeah. Which episode?
I think the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I laughed like quite a lot.
Yeah.
It's an interesting cast. There's a lot of dynamics going on and it isn't
Totally.
Yeah, there's a lot of really unique looks happening. So
definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
And the challenges
and some big
are fun.
Personalities.
And the worst acting challenge I've ever seen.
Which one?
In episode 3.
Which one was that?
Where they do the
the Get Out and
No, that was
that
had
some later.
That
right?
had some stuff in it. After that, they did a Like a like an evangelical show.
Yes. Oh no.
Oh my
god.
Terrible. It was fucking painful.
Oh no. Yeah, they had to do like they picked a pop star and then had to do a sketch where they are like doing a TV
like the Church of
Church
Britney.
Show. Yeah. You know, praising whoever it is that they picked.
And one team fucking hit the bed.
They picked Mariah.
Woo!
And didn't know anything about Mariah Carey.
God.
Yeah. So it was painful to watch.
Bad.
And it's particularly bad because the one before it where they did Britney was like really good.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
pretty funny and yeah, like yeah. pretty well done. And they all kind of.
It's like, why would you pick somebody you don't know anything about? Oh my God. Yeah. They could have changed it any time. They all realized they didn't know anything about Mariah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wonderful.
I know more about Mariah than all of them, which is insane. I don't know fucking anything.
Yeah, it was so funny. Rue comes over and like mentions all this stuff, and then that was the only
stuff they said.
That was the only references
she mentioned.
They made.
Yeah, yeah.
Things she, yeah.
Oh my god.
I love it.
Yep. So good.
Good show.
Still the best show.
Yeah.
But yeah, watch.
I gotta. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
Anything else?
Couple things. Documentary-wise, I watched Icarus.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
That's really something to watch.
Yeah.
It's really something to watch a government just go, just doing a thing and then going, nah, we're not doing that. We would never do that. That's crazy. And then they just do it some more blatantly.
Yeah.
And then they just go, nah, we wouldn't. That's crazy. Why would. That's. It's disgusting anyone would do that. And then they just do it and do it. And then it's the Olympics. And then they're like, let's get everybody on drugs.
Yeah.
Let's get everybody on performance-enhancing drugs. Like, just right. And then, like, the whole... sorry, I'm talking about this, like...
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Realize
what's
I
the
had,
gist of it
I
for the listeners?
This is
context.
About the Nintendo game Kid Icarus.
Yes.
It absolutely is. It's about the doping scandal in the well in Russia's entire history and future, I guess.
Yeah.
It's sort of exposed by this one by the guy who ran the lab, and it sort of exposes how easy it is to get around the tests, like all the blood tests that they do, until they come up with this one system where, you know, you have two urine samples. Like, it's all basically about swapping out urine samples for clean urine. And they come up with a system where, you know, there's two urine samples. They're taken in, brought into separate rooms. One is, you know, frozen and is to be tested against the other one, you know, in the future or whatever. And then the Russians come up with this fucking insane like method of like how to kind of mess with that system. It's anyway, it's fucking bananas. You should totally watch it.
That's a pee.
There's
mostly about pee.
There's a lot of pee. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, Icarus, he peed too close to the sun.
Ah, yes, on wings of pee.
Yeah.
It's one of those great documentaries that starts out being about one thing, and then and then all of a sudden like takes a hard left turn and just whoa, now it's about this.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a good one.
Nice.
It's a good one. And then also real quick, I watched 1.5 episodes of Killer Mike's new show.
Oh yeah.
Oh, how is that?
I watched.
Fucking
that.
It's good. Awesome.
Yeah. Right on.
The first episode basically is about Killer Mike trying to live black for 3 days.
Yeah, like so he can't go to any store that is not owned by a black person. He can't buy
he
any
can't
products
buy, he
that
can't
are
use
made
his phone.
By black people. Yeah.
He can't smoke weed. And everyone's like, well, black people sell weed. And he's like, yeah, but black people don't grow weed.
Yeah.
He can't eat anywhere except for these specific grocery stores. But even then, he can only eat like a can of beans.
Yeah.
It's the
great kind of show where like the concepts of every episode are kind of like deliberately kind of funnily over, you know, like... I don't know how to explain it.
Well, yeah, the second like, episode is called Fuck School.
Yeah.
Is either called it's, Fuck School or Fuck School.
They take the, like, just a little too extreme of a look, but then in doing that, you know, highlight what's so fucked
it
up about reality.
It exposes a lot of, like, he tries to live, like, basically he's trying to keep his dollar within the black community for as long as he possibly can. And it's an impossibility. He has a show in 3 days with Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
So it's him and LP. They're both fucking hilarious,
yeah, they're great.
By the way.
Yeah.
You know, like LP's just like a really white guy.
Yeah.
Well, not really white guy. He's just a white guy. But when they sit down to eat at that, like, finally they find a black owned
like barbecue joint,
place,
yeah,
that's like supposed to be like the best barbecue. And he's so hungry because he hasn't been able to eat. He sits down to eat this beautiful barbecue. And LP's like, who do you think supplied the meat? And Mike, just you like... just see his whole face fall, and he goes and asks, like, is the meat black from a black owned farm? And the guy's like, no. Oh, he's so just like destroyed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so upsetting.
It's so good.
But then, you know, at the end of it, like, he urges like everybody to, you know, he's like, let's make Black Friday a thing.
Yeah.
Like, everybody on Fridays, like, keep your dollars, and like white people, everybody,
yeah,
keep your dollars within the black community, or like, you know, try to support the black community, which is such a fucking great thing to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the episode conceits are so good. Like, there's one where he goes, like, you know, you can go online and buy like a Hell's Angels biker tee, and like that's like a gang, but when you talk about the Crips and the Bloods, it's like, so like, oh my god, but people are out there, like, you know, worshiping the angels or whatever. Yeah. So he basically has,
or
the
hiring them for things.
Yeah for security.
So he basically goes and creates two sodas, you know, one soda is for Crip-a-Cola or whatever, and one soda the Bloods, and then has like them like pose together to be like stop the violence. And so it's like really kind of like outrageous kind of, you know, concepts, but they always, yeah, like highlight something that at the end of the episode, there's always a very tangible, like, think about that,
yeah,
or go,
like,
do,
like,
that.
Like, here's the way that you,
yeah,
can, here's functionally the way,
yeah,
that you can do this.
Exactly.
Really,
like, hey, on Friday, go, you know, support these businesses. We're not saying don't ever buy anything else. That was,
yeah,
just to prove the point of how fucking hard it is.
Right. But it's also really interesting, like, to see, like, there are, you know, he could only use this one bus line.
Yeah.
Because it's completely, you know, black owned. He could have a phone. Because there's a phone manufactured for black people, like for the black community kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you see, like, you're like, oh, there's this whole little economy that we could be, like, that's a way that we could be fighting institutionalized racism,
yeah,
by supporting this little economy that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a way that we can fundamentally assist black living.
Yeah.
Which,
it's a good show,
which I think is, really,
and it's
valuable.
Fucking funny.
It's
really
funny.
Funny. Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen all of them. We watched like the first four or five or something. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
There's a really good one where they want to teach people like trades. That was the fuck school one.
That's
the
fuck school.
Yeah, and then
fuck
they end
school,
up
fuck
like
school.
Making educational porn.
Yeah,
like
they teach you how to fix a lamp.
Yeah, well,
but also people are fucking.
And they do like a little small group study where it's like they show people, they ask people about like how do you fix a light bulb or a light switch or something, and then they go and they make the educational porn about like fixing a light switch or whatever, and then they show that these people and then take the test again and they like know a little bit more about it because they're like, we're more interested in watching it. Yeah,
it's cool though too, because even that one, like to make the porn, they went and found this sex positive therapist,
yeah,
I think she was, and she helped make like the,
like,
porn, like so that,
so
the porn,
yeah,
yeah, was like even like it was sort of like equal,
yeah,
opportunity,
consensual, and it's diverse,
yeah,
and
yeah,
yeah, it's a good show,
really fucking cool,
yeah. What else? Anything else before we get to film roulette?
I'm excited about getting to film.
Yeah.
That was like the THX.
One real quick, I won't talk about it too long. I did rewatch Nighthawks.
Nice.
Because Athena had never seen it. And so we watched it together.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. It comes in the wake of The French Connection, and it wants,
yeah,
to be that, but it doesn't have any of the smarts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
It's, if you don't know, Nighthawks is Sylvester Stallone and Billy Dee Williams are.
Yeah.
partners, and they're fighting an international terrorist played by Rucker Hauer.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good. And it's fun. It's got a good pace.
Good
it's
opening.
Got some really silly moments. It's still, like, the problems with the movie are, is, like, Stallone's super cop is just too fucking smart and too fucking on it. Rucker Hauer is an international terrorist. They cannot get their hands on him. They finally get a look at him. He has plastic surgery and changes his face and disappears. Stallone
only
goes
to become
one,
Billy Dee Williams.
Stallone goes to one club and goes, that's him right there. Finds him on his first try of the first fucking night.
Yeah.
And then
awesome.
They chase him and they chase him and he cuts Billy Dee Williams' cheek a little bit and Stallone stops chasing him and just cradles Billy Dee Williams. He's like, you're dead! He just screams it over and that goes through the subways and then like and that's all that's the only interaction he has with him and then he starts calling the shots with the FBI guys and they're like, well, how do you know? He's like, well, I'm learning how to think like this scumbag. Like, how? You've done no research, nothing. You're just arguing with your ex-wife, like nothing else is happening. Thinking like him. It's very great.
It's good.
And I'll mention it for if you need a reason to watch it. The ending is really something.
Oh yeah,
and I didn't allude to Athena that something was going to happen at the end. But the ending is wonderful.
It's fun. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good time. Nighthawks, 1981 or yeah. So. Yeah,
check it out.
It's really worth it.
Yeah. All right, then let's do film roulette now.
Let's go.
Film Roulette is our segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week it was Captain Marvel. The low roller has to see something bad, whether it's in theaters or at home. This week it was at home and it was What Lies Ahead.
What? Lies Ahead?
What Lies Ahead?
What? Lies Ahead.
What? Lies Ahead?
And
what lies ahead?
Yeah, what? Tell me. The loser also gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. So we'll talk about these two movies and then an album and roll for next week. The winner, Greg and I, got to see Captain Marvel, directed by Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden. This is obviously the story of Carol Danvers, one of the universe's most powerful heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So this set in the 1990s. This is one that we've all kind of been waiting for for a couple of years now. It was announced so long ago, I feel like.
Yeah.
And yeah, the directors, they came off of some smaller movies that did Half Nelson. It's kind of a funny story. Mississippi Grind, not too small, but like... more character-driven sort of indie films in general.
Oh, wait. These are the people who did Mississippi Grind?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and yeah, Half Nelson
is a fucking great movie.
With,
Which half?
Yeah.
Nelson.
Nelson.
Which half? Nelson.
Half Nelson. Yeah,
nice.
So Brie Larson is Carol Danvers, Samuel Jackson, Nick Fury, obviously, Jude Law's in this thing, Ben Mendelsohn, Annette Bening, and many more. Yeah, how do you want to get into this?
Because
this is, I feel like, you know, an exciting movie. We've been waiting for Captain Marvel. Like I said, it was announced so long ago.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of, there's a all nonsense going on with the internet being,
oh God, yeah,
trying to tank this movie.
Don't go see this. Go see Alita.
Why are you so mad?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Your empty, stupid life.
I know.
And
it never... They always do it on movies that are, like, hugely successful.
Yeah,
it's almost like they're more successful.
You're making it more successful.
Yeah.
And this movie is making crazy money.
Yeah, unbelievable money.
Crazy. Week and a half in and already made more money than Amazing Spider-Man, Justice League... and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So, and then there's a lot of intense reviews where people are like, this movie doesn't do enough.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they want it to be this huge,
perfect,
feminist movement
statement.
Moment. And I'm like, you got to back off and let this movie just be a movie.
Yeah.
And a nice, successful female-led film that's making crazy money. Just let it be a fucking movie.
Yeah.
And it's a comic book fucking movie.
Yeah.
So everyone chill out and just go watch a comic book movie.
Yeah.
About a lady who flies around and shoots fucking plasma blasts out of her fucking
hands.
Yeah. And have a good time because it's set in 1995. I had a great time.
It's a great movie.
It's really good.
It's mostly
excellent. There was a couple of draggy parts, but whatever. They're not that bad.
Did you find, I found the opening chunk of the movie, like the first few scenes, I found like the dialogue was gnarly. And, like, some of the exposition dump where they're like, well, as you know already, the person that comes to see you will appear as someone that you remember. We'll talk about this while we have our little kung fu fight or whatever.
Right.
I just felt like right off the bat, I was kind of like, oh, whoa, wait a second. But then I felt like it starts to gain speed.
I was fine with that. Honestly, the first 45 minutes or something, I was so on board with the pace, everything like that.
Yeah, it really
picks
up.
When it shifts to 1995 Earth and we get a buddy cop movie starring Brie Larson and Sam Jackson.
Yeah, it's
fun. It's the fucking best. The pace is great. You get like, and it felt throwback. Like we had to focus on a car chase that didn't involve, you know, anything too insane.
Yeah, it was just a nice
subway
fun
scene.
Car,
like it was just moving. Like, and I liked how it was shot. I liked the look of it. The action was great.
Yeah.
And then you get into some exposition later where we have to like reveal some stuff and we're going to go through this where, the pace slows down and the climax was fine.
Yeah, I feel like with a lot of these movies, they end up overstaying their welcome just by like a few minutes. Like there's a scene in this movie where they have like a climactic fight, and obviously the whole plot isn't resolved, but I was like, wow, that was fun.
Yeah.
And then they're like, now we got to go back to Earth. And I was like, okay, now there's going to be 10, 15 more minutes.
Yeah,
But
I did a little bit of the
same. It's still entertaining.
But it's fine. Like, listen, some of the best albums I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah,
not every song is perfect. And so, not every minute of this thing is the best, but the good stuff is super good. And she's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh, man. I was
much fun.
And she does such a good job of keeping it engaging because she's an interesting character, but also keeping it light and fun.
Yeah,
like you need, we're also obviously moving into the next wave of Marvel movies, and
this is a good
somebody
balance.
Has to be stoic Chris Evans, but also winking Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah,
and she's kind of riding the line a little bit there because she's funny in this, and she's got swagger while she's kicking the shit out of people,
totally.
And she handles like, I don't know, action one-liners pretty well.
Totally. So two things. I saw some people kind of saying that there was no kind of visual identity to this movie, which is not entirely false because it is kind of a Marvel movie. It looks like a Marvel movie. But I thought there was some fun pops of color and there was some cool stuff like with the blast that you see when you finally see her, getting her powers. It was super cool slow-mo and stuff. Like, there was some fun.
Yeah.
And the visuals were just pulled back enough that, it wasn't too, shaky cam. Like, the action was all very well, solidly done. I felt this movie, for me in general, was really well balanced because another thing I saw people talking about was like that her character isn't deep enough. We don't go deep enough into her, as a character. We don't see her struggles at the Flight Academy and all this stuff. And to me, it was like, well, the movie's not about she had a hard time, in the Academy, or she had a hard time flying jets. The movie is she has to figure out who she is and at the end of the movie decide, I'm not going to be who you want me to be.
Right.
I'm going to be me. And
the whole movie is about identity.
Yeah, I don't.
Hidden identities. Either people are not who they appear to be, or they're pretending to be something else. Or, some people are like, they're not, like, they're shapeshifters, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like, who's really them and who isn't. But some people are just traitors or turncoats, right? So there's a lot of, like, reveals.
Totally.
Across the board. All these great science fiction tropes are thrown in there.
And I felt like that kind of through line is just deep enough that it's effective, but sometimes you don't need like a half hour of her like at the thing and people are saying you suck, you're a woman or whatever. Like it's just enough that when that happens, all I could think about was just like any kid here in this movie theater watching her say that to him and figure out like I'm gonna be who I am and fucking and just I was just like, that's perfect. Like, it's just like the right level of depth. It's just enough so that it hits you. and that a kid can watch it and get it, but then an adult can also be like, wow, that was actually well.
Yeah, and
like,
I don't need a superhero movie to explain to me what sexism is. We all know it's there. It's been here for a long fucking time. So
totally.
It just gives you like, here's another person who has dealt with sexism all her fucking life, and here we go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Totally.
She was great. Sam Jackson was great. Ben Mendelsohn was great.
I'm still like, the de-aging stuff is just... It's always looking a little weird. But
I was pretty settled into it with
good.
Him. I guess because I've been watching him in movies since he was the age he is portraying in this.
Yeah, it was
weird.
Interesting. Yeah.
So there's like little things that, but I got very used to it.
Yeah,
they
definitely.
Are very good at
and
it.
It's
better than anybody else.
In this movie, it's just like he's that way the whole movie,
the entire movie.
So,
which very good.
There's
he's
amazing
great.
Cat in this
just
movie.
Great. They have very good chemistry, Jackson and Larson.
Totally.
And it's a lot to look forward to with the direction that Phase 4 will take. And
I want more Goose. I want more Goose.
More Goose.
I love Goose. Oh, my God. When they were, like, in the ship and they go real fast and they turn around and see Goose, like, pushed back.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some good...
Delightful.
It was funny.
Yeah.
That was the other thing, too, is people were like, oh, it's too light after Infinity War.
Right.
Like,
give me some light.
What do you want?
Give me it.
What do you want?
Put colors in my eyes. Just,
yeah, for Christ's
sake.
Yeah,
fun.
This one feels, it reminded me of Captain America First Avenger.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's a fun adventure. I know I'll go back and watch it again and have a good time.
Definitely.
And there was a lot of funny stuff in it.
Yeah.
Really funny stuff.
When we were leaving.
You're supposed to be my science guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
When we were leaving the theater, Emma was like, I think that's my favorite Marvel movie. And
yeah,
I was like, it's a lot.
Yeah,
so much
tight,
fun.
Really tight.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah,
definitely.
She's a cool character. And so, yeah, it's interesting how we'll see the roles because you need...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
She's very... I've seen comments about she's too powerful. I'm like, well, Thor's too powerful.
Yeah.
You know, the Avengers team as it's going to roll out, you know, as far as a strength goes, you got a...
I don't understand
Black
that
Panther
at all,
is kind of your Captain America strength level.
Yeah.
And then you got Captain Marvel's got kind of your Thor godlike powers.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
many
of them are on that
guy,
level.
Like Iron Man, Spider-Man, there you go.
Yeah.
It's all, power's all
like,
evening out. Don't
nobody
worry.
Is saying that about Spider-Man.
No.
And like in Spider-Man, he's like, you know, a boat is sawed in half and he's pulling it with his web to, you know, like like these people are fucking so strong,
yeah,
of course.
It's a fucking comic book movie. Have a good time. Be thankful that they make these.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was a fun movie. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time at the movies.
It was a good time at the fucking movies.
I feel like the No Doubt needle drop didn't totally work for me.
It didn't for me either.
And I felt like it was maybe something in the audio production. Like, it didn't feel like they had juiced it up with some bass or, like, felt like...
It was too loud or something. I don't know, maybe it was in the theater. I felt like it was a little jarring. It was like, at one point, it felt like it was blurring out dialogue. There was a little bit in there. And also, I was like, this wouldn't be her jam, though.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know this song.
Like, the whole song at the end, I was like, that, they should have done a fight scene to that.
For sure.
That has, like, that, you could really edit to that.
Or, because she disappeared from Earth in 1989.
Yeah.
We should have taken a song from then.
So, she would be thinking about
what she was into. Same thing with the, anyway. There's one other music cue in there where I was like, this doesn't quite make sense considering timelines, but.
Yeah.
Other than that, everything was like pretty fucking 1995.
Yeah, and I like that they didn't lean so far into it. Like, they have the pager thing, but it's not like, what is this?
Yeah, I know. It wasn't like,
it's just like, he has a pager.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel was a great time at the theater.
Yep.
It definitely, for me, again, like, I was a little weird about the opening stretch, the first 5-10 minutes, but it builds steam and builds steam, and then there's that great kind of, like, twist in the middle that reverses a lot of stuff, and then it's super entertaining.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time.
See it.
And if you're seeing it in the theater, you don't need to stay for the second post-credit scene.
Oh, really? Our friend from L.A., Richard, who used to have a podcast on the network, he was like, that's my favorite of all time.
The second one?
Yeah.
It's fine.
I think maybe just because we both like Goose so much.
All right. But yeah, I mean, because it was a long wait, and we were kind of in a hurry to go home.
And you're like, oh, that's it? And it's like, not really like super hard
plot.
No,
it doesn't. It has nothing to do with any kind of plot. It's just there for you. You'll be able to watch it at home.
Yeah.
It'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first one is the one that's like, here's the setup.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Cool. So this is fun because we're all going to get to talk about this.
Yeah.
We all ended up watching the Punishment movie.
Because that trailer.
Because of Jimbo Fries. What lies ahead from 2019, directed by Rob Gardner, when two young women embark on a road trip from Georgia to New York, an unseen peril emerges that grows stronger with each passing mile. Starring Rumor Willis and Emma Dumont, both of whom who have been in some major films, Emma has been in like a ton of stuff. She's been like long running on TV shows and stuff, which was very interesting to me considering the performances in this film.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this
Let's not start calling them performances.
So this is a movie. Uh-huh. It's kind of set up like it's a thriller. I feel like this is a movie where if I was to discuss the plot points, you could be like, oh, that could have like some trashy fun to it, like the way that sounds like it works out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you could see it being like a Lifetime movie that's pretty funny and entertaining, like if they're done right, or a 90s thriller.
Yeah,
if it was done
right.
Yeah,
90s.
Yeah, you could definitely see this being like a single white female
kind of thing. Yeah.
But on a road trip.
Now, Dan, the way you describe it, makes it sound like you might have seen this movie.
Yeah. We all saw it.
Yeah, we all watched this movie.
Mm-hmm. Dynamite.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Guys, what did you think?
This was your punishment.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. But we all jumped
in. I had to watch it.
Yeah.
I think so many things about this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bewildering.
It is
unbelievable.
Feels very much like a group of friends who have never seen a movie.
Yeah. It feels like a group of friends who went to film school together and had like a script for a short where they're like, they're in a car and is she who she says she is, and then we're like, let's make it 90 minutes, though.
Yeah. But
instead of five.
Lots of musical interludes.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Also, let's not start throwing around the word music.
Yeah. There's multiple scenes in this movie where they're like, let's put a song on and bop along to it.
Oh, my God.
Bop along to, like, slide guitar with no accompaniment.
But not.
And not by a particularly good slide guitar player.
That one specifically.
That one was insane.
They turn on the radio.
Yeah, and it's like,
and the radio guitar. Is this guy's like, and now he goes a slide guitar from Slidey McSlider.
Yeah,
and it's literally like, beer, 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 and the like. There's some backing accompaniment, but the lead slide guitar is so off.
Yeah.
From that back, and I'm like, they put this on the radio, and they're like,
groove into it, like,
oh, they,
sweet
they're like,
tune.
Oh, this is all right.
Yeah.
Like, I can definitely get into this.
Both times it's used as like they don't like each other, but they're settling in.
Yeah.
A little
they're
bit.
Like terrible guitar playing.
Yeah,
they have that in common.
Well, so
this fucking movie. Oh, it starts out. Okay, sorry, Dan.
For the
listener,
table setting, this movie is about a woman who is going to meet her brother, And so her brother says, you're going to drive to meet me with my girlfriend.
Yeah, bring up my girlfriend, yeah, bring her too.
They've never seen each other or met, so they have to go, you know, on a road trip together to see the same person. And then it comes out that maybe Rumor Willis is not who she says she is, or you know,
very clear from the beginning.
It is 100% clear. Yeah. Now this movie, okay, so spoiler alert
for everything in this movie.
Like, Rumor Willis plays somebody who's supposed to be like the sister of this girl's boyfriend, and then it from the very immediate beginning. It is very clear that this is not the case, literally at all.
They meet at a house, and the one woman is like, I got to go to the washroom, and Rumor Willis is like, you can't go in the house.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, you can take a dump on. And the girl's like, I'm okay.
No. Yeah, and she's like, really? And then Rumor Willis is like, well, there's a guy up in the window who jacks off.
Yeah.
But otherwise.
But I bet he's probably not jacking it right now, so why don't you go take a dump behind the house? And she's like, oh, I'm so embarrassed, but okay.
Yeah, I'll do it. This seems totally normal.
Here's a I'm going to throw out an option B. Go to a restaurant.
Go drive to a gas station.
Go get a coffee.
There's so many other solutions than take a shit in the backyard.
Now it's possible that she was not taking
a
shit.
Yeah, just taking a whiz, but still.
Yeah, she just got off a plane. She is taking a massive shit in the backyard, and somebody's possibly jerking it. While watching.
Which is funny because in the context of what we know at the end of the movie, her saying, like, don't go in the house, but go in the backyard, but also somebody might be jerking off and looking at you, is like, that's only going to make her more want to go in the house.
Wait, what?
I gotta see this guy.
No, like, I don't want to be jacked off. Well, like, I don't want somebody to jack up while I'm peeing in the backyard, so now I have to go in the house.
I'm
not going to go in the backyard.
Right. Or, again, go just drive a coffee somewhere. Shop.
Yeah, anything.
Then they have conversations where I'm like, this is not how conversations go.
No.
Well, no. This movie is so clumsy.
Mm-hmm. In every way, in the way it's produced and filmed and sound design.
I don't know that there was a script.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, like, clumsy back and forth.
And long pauses while the actor's trying to think of something to say.
And lots of shots of just the car driving for five minutes.
So much of that.
And this movie does not... This movie wants you to know what it wants you to know immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it starts with, like, a voice message from the boyfriend slash brother saying, hey, sis. I'm like, oh... So you want me to know you're the brother? Okay, cool. I know that now because you called her sis.
Yeah.
And then, the first song is fucking awesome. The song that plays over the credits.
The credits,
hey,
yeah.
Wait, okay. Now, I watched this on YouTube, and there was no music of any kind over the entire opening credits.
Oh, there was definitely.
We were sitting there like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, maybe there's an audio problem, but then it cuts to them, and there's dialogue, and I'm like... Mm-hmm. Is there no music in the credits?
Yeah, no, bizarre. there was some.
Yeah, there's a song. I guess I'll say song.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if Courtney Love was even less talented.
Uh-huh.
Like definitely all of the music in this is like friends of the filmmaker.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
So it's that the song is remarkably bad. I suggest that you seek this song out for how remarkably bad it is.
Great.
Here's an example of the dialogue.
Yeah.
The very beginning scene where the two girls are having margaritas.
Yes.
And they go, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you, too. I am going to miss our margaritas. I'm going to miss you, too. Those were some lines from the movie.
And that seems they're like, relationships, they're really hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard because, like, relationships, you, like, drift apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
we were just on our way to becoming best roommates ever.
Yeah.
But now
you have to. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Wow. Relationships. God must be a woman because only a dumb bitch would.
Yeah. Something
would
like
make
that.
Relationships
yeah.
so stupid or something. I was like, ugh,
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I hope we never hear that line again.
Yeah. So they get on the
spoiler
road.
We do.
Emma Dumont's phone goes missing.
Yeah.
And it's like, where's my phone? I don't know. You never lost a phone before. Shut up.
Yeah, but, and her, so she's being, like, Rumor Willis is being weird about, because obviously she's taking the phone.
Yeah.
But also, Emma's reaction to losing the phone is way over the top.
Yeah, it's like, settle the fuck
down. Like, look at my fucking purse. Do you look at your purse? I look at my fucking purse. It's out of the fucking seat.
And then she's like,
"Let my fucking phone
just go." And she's like, "Okay."
Like literally.
I mean, obviously the phone is probably right here somewhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because we parked and haven't gone anywhere but into this gas station.
Yeah,
nothing else has happened. The phone is here somewhere. Mm-hmm. Not let's leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well. Yep. I've lost like four phones, so whatever. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. How about we call it from your phone?
Yeah, give that a shot. No, this movie's fun in its clumsy getting rid of phones. Like, somebody had two good ideas to get rid of phones.
Yeah.
One, I lost my phone, and then the lady stole it. And then the other one is, oh, I forgot my charger.
Yeah.
We'll get to that guy later.
Is the next main thing that happened, the going to get food, basically. So, like, they don't really like each other. She's kind of worrying about it. Eventually,
there's a lot of talk. They play the road games.
Oh God!
Yeah, the road games.
Where she's like, "Do you want to play I Spy? No, or whatever, something else." Like,
yeah.
How about the one where I ask you questions, and if I don't like the answers, I get to
fucking slap you.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many things that happen within this 40-minute period of nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the moment I realized this whole movie takes place in a car, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, 15 minutes in, and I had been watching for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Let's get in. Oh, yeah, there's 15 minutes of her looking for her phone. I made notes.
Yeah.
I made time bandit style notes.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Definitely only. Oh, and they were definitely only pretending to listen to that.
Yeah, they're not tapping along
there's
in time.
No,
or anything.
There's no tapping in time. But again, neither is this.
I feel like then the next major thing is they do the games. They don't like each other. They go to the burger joint. The escalation is You know, they're gonna order all this food, and then Rumor Willis is like, "Let's get out of here," and runs away without paying.
One of my notes is 40 minutes in, and they've stolen a hamburger.
Yeah,
that was literally all that had happened. But that hamburger guy,
holy fuck,
was fucking awesome.
So there's only a few scenes where there's other people in speaking roles, and this one in particular, the guy they order,
all of them are weird.
Well, two of them are fucking great.
I want to get to another one after this, but we got to talk about that guy. It's like a teenage dude running Jimbo's Burgers.
Yeah.
Jimbo's Jumbos.
And he's so bad. He's
awkward.
So, like, it's like he's supposed to be he's supposed to be intimidated by how sexy these girls are.
Right. Yeah.
But I feel like he's never seen a person before.
Yeah. I feel like he's just like a high school kid that was like, "Hey, you're a kid getting our movie," and he was like, "I don't know how to act," and they were like, "Fuck it." Like, he looked like I'm scared to be in this movie. I'm very awkward.
Yeah.
I don't really want to be doing this. Like, you know,
it was I fucking loved him. I thought he was so hard
I
to
looked
watch.
Away from the screen when he came up, and Athena was like, "You rewind this.
Yeah,
you need to see this performance.
You need to see this human being exists."
Wow.
Yeah, and so they steal the food.
Yeah.
And she and Emma Dumont's like, "Oh my God, I can't do this. We got to drive back," or whatever. And Rumor Willis is like, "Shut up.
Here's your fries.
Eat your
Jumbo fries, you fucking cunt." This lady uses, like, I don't understand. Like, every once in a while, there's like a commercial style fade out in this movie.
Yeah.
Which made me think, oh, okay, so this is going to be like a. Because I kept hearing that it was like a Lifetime movie or something. I'm but then there's some salty, salty language.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, Rumor Willis, from the start, is just like, even if this movie wasn't about, like, she's not who she said she was, it'd be like, don't go in a car with her. She's an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, she's constantly just a bitch. Like,
she is an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
There is nothing about either of them that slightly suggests that I shouldn't want them both to die all the time.
Yeah. What's the next big thing that happens? Oh, wait.
There's
one scene.
They do get pulled over for speeding. When does that happen? I feel like that's maybe before Burgers.
I think that's
maybe
before Burgers.
Because that guy,
the cop,
is also.
That guy's
acting.
Oh my
God!
Yeah.
This is also
super weird.
also an example of the movie that the movie shows you things you don't need to see and doesn't show you things you do need to see. Because mm-hmm. the end of them getting pulled over is Rumor Willis convincing him that, you know, I got to get there. And she fake cries. And and then it just like hard cuts to them driving. And I was like, oh, I guess he let them go.
Yeah.
I guess.
But like prior to that, he was ready to shoot them dead in that
car. Yeah. He fucking hated on the gun. Them.
Yeah.
But then
ready to go.
There's also
a
scene.
Tears, like, get out of here. Forget about it.
There's also a scene where they like stop somewhere and we get to see like two guys playing checkers and like we get to see insert shots of like their hands jumping over. There's a whole day like coverage of the whole scene. I was like, there's no reason for this.
I have written about that. Checkers doesn't work that way because these girls pull up and they're like, hey, checkers guys, why don't you check out my tits? And the guy gets distracted. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And then the other guy jumps off his pieces.
And the other guy jumps his things. But it's like, checkers isn't a game where a distraction matters at all. Like, he was still going to jump those guys.
Yeah. And then there's like, see you later. And I was like, why did that happen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, king me, asshole. Like,
what?
Checkers. Yeah. Settle the fuck down.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I love this when they're playing the road games, which is like, they're like, let's play some road games. And the one girl's like, I don't know, you want to play I Spy? I'm like, I don't know, are you three? And then she goes, no, we're going to play, I forget what it's called, but it's basically Truth or Dare. We're going to play Truth or Dare.
With you're slap a seat. Hot seat.
Hot seat. You're a psychologist. This should be right up your alley.
Yeah.
You're confusing the word psychologist with 5-year-olds.
Yeah. I loved in Psychology 101 when we played that.
Yeah, when you played Truth or Dare, you know.
Yeah.
You know how when you go to visit your psychiatrist, they're like, okay, you got to show your bum to that guy over there. Or I'm going to slap you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I guess, we realize that she's, you know, really wild because they go into a bar.
Right.
And some dudes are like,
oh, man, this scene with them drinking.
Oh, my God. This is the best drunk acting I have ever seen.
I was like, you've never been drunk.
It's like they've never been drunk, but somebody showed them a Foster Brooks video. And they were like, this is a drug guy.
Yeah.
And it goes on and nothing happens for like a while where it's just that. They're talking about beer and drinking it weird.
Yeah, I will definitely admit that I used the 10-second skip.
Oh no, you skipped it?
Not that, but like there were some scenes where like okay, they're driving, skip. Okay, now we're talking again. You know what I mean? Like there was definitely some times where
you got to get the full, you got to marinate.
Yeah, get into those quiet moments because there's all kinds of weird music things. Like the bendy guitar one is one thing, but then. There's other just random shit where it's like music with no lyrics.
I love at the bar.
Any discernible tune, and they're like,
I love that at the bar. They're like, oh my God, this is my favorite song. I'm like, no, this is not anybody's favorite song.
This is my favorite YouTube backing track. This is my favorite royalty-free track. I love this song. It's called Sunny Sunday. Atmospheric drums.
And so like they dance and then they tease these two redneck guys.
Mm-hmm. Big mistake.
Big mistake because those guys follow her out to the car and then she has a gun.
They're going
to
knife her.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. What did they think was going to happen?
Yeah.
So then she pulls a gun on them and she's like, I'm going to shoot your dicks if you even try to come back. And then as they're leaving, she's like, I'm going to shoot your dicks.
Yeah.
she really drives that point home.
Yeah, because they give her the finger and she's like,
shoot your dick.
Yeah.
She says that like, have a good night. Anyway, shoot your dick.
Yeah. Is the first person that we finally... Well, she... So the Emma Dumont character eventually realizes she has my phone.
Yeah.
Things are
really starting to unravel in the next 10 minutes of this movie.
Because on her phone is all these messages from her boyfriend being like... Where are you? What's going on?
No. The message from the boyfriend.
Who are you with?
We see a little. We see a little cutaway scene to the house she wasn't allowed to shit in.
Yeah. And they're like, she's in there. Somebody's in there dead.
I fucking love this because it's like the police are there and the landlord is opening the house for them and the police come out and the police guy goes, Yeah, we're going to have to get our supervisor and some detectives.
Yeah.
And he's like some detectives. Emoting not at all. But they're like, hey, say some police things, some things that the police would say. Oh, we got to get...
some detectives.
Well, we're going to get a supervisor and let's get some detectives.
We're going to get the manager in here.
To look at all these dead people in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then it's all starting to unravel.
Yeah. So when she does find the phone, it's the kind of a reveal of like,
yeah,
who are you with? We don't know who you're with.
Because it's the brother going, oh, where are you? She's dead.
Yeah.
I don't know who you're with.
Yeah.
The reveal being that actually she's not the sister.
Yeah. And that's when the Jessica, the boring girlfriend, finds... the girl's ID. This movie is about finding things coincidentally.
And she's
she
like,
finds her ID.
Kind of stuck. They kind of do a thing where she's like stuck in the car, sort of, and then Rumor Willis like the Emma Dumont character was driving, and then the Rumor Willis comes back to the car knowing that she knows. So what she does is she won't let her get out to walk around the car, so she like forces herself in the driver's seat and then like shoves the girl over like the kind of gap. She's just like, what?
Yeah, it's very awkward.
So weird and awkward.
Yeah.
And so now we're driving along, and now we know that Rumor Willis is some kind of a crazy psycho lady.
Yeah.
We don't really know why, nor do we care.
No. Hitchhiker?
Hitchhiker. Yes.
Pick him up.
Hitchhiker.
Why is part of his head so wet?
Yeah. It's the sweatiest hitchhiker
it's
in the world.
Front part.
Just the front top part.
But this guy is literally my favorite actor of all time.
So good.
He's
going for it.
Because everybody else is kind of like bad. Like Rumor Willis is really, she's trying to ham it up, but God bless her. She has no idea what she's doing.
Yeah.
The other girl is just zero charisma whatsoever. Yeah.
Most of her, Emma, when we watched it, and I forced Emma to watch this. She was like, why are we watching this? Emma was like her all of her acting is just her like putting her hair back behind her ear.
Yeah.
Like she constantly just doing that. I don't know. It's so weird.
She is a zero, fucking absolute zero. And then this guy comes in and goes, don't worry, guys, I got this.
Yeah.
And he is acting 150,000%.
Yeah.
Like, I think he thought this movie was about clowns.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he's this hitchhiker. And he's like, oh, I got a friend, and he's getting married. And I'm his best man. And he's got these fucking facial expressions.
Yeah. And he's sweating.
Oh, and he's so fucking sweaty. And there's no reason for him to be... There's literally no reason for this guy to be in the movie other than for Rumor Willis to just...
Kill him.
Zero fucking thin air to just shoot him.
And then she's like... You made me do it.
Even happened. She didn't even try to clue the guy in. But that, when she gets out to shoot this guy dead out on the street, this is the second or third opportunity now that that the meat girl has to
Drive the fuck away, you idiot.
She doesn't have anything on you.
No.
Yeah. Just go.
Yeah.
Drive.
But then we wouldn't get the wonderful ending.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's the one. So that person's dead. They drive off. She's
love
like,
that.
How do we get to the point where they're in the woods? And
okay, well, so let's fill in the backstory now. This is where it all becomes revealed, is that Rumor Willis is really an ex-girlfriend or ex-lover of the boyfriend of Kyle.
Yeah, which makes sense because earlier in the movie, the Emma Dumont character is like, yeah, you should have seen some of the other people he dated. They were coming in and out, and they were real gross and sleazy or slutty. And, and so it's like, she's talking about her.
Mm.
Yeah.
I guess, like, her type of...
I think she was just setting up that she was very jealous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what she's really trying to do is get Jessica, the boring girl, out of the picture so that she can have Kyle to herself.
Right.
Yeah.
Kyle's a doctor.
Yeah. Oh, she has that... conversation on the phone with Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also some bananas acting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, where she's crying and
yeah, yeah.
And And again, no script to be found whatsoever because it's a lot of
writes that down.
No, because they were just like, okay, like you want to get him back and you'll do anything to get him back, including kill this girl. Go. And she's like, Gail, I want you back, and I'll do anything to get you back, including kill this girl.
Yeah.
Like there's perfect a lot of cut. You'll see. We'll be together. I just have to kill some people. Then we're going to be together. You'll
forever
see. You'll see.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's so good.
Oh, and then they fight in the woods.
Yeah, a weird fight.
A weird fight.
Not
yeah,
a strange.
A
facial
slow fight.
Yeah,
very slow fight.
Again, probably
with
no script or blocking.
Receive no punches.
Yeah, just roll around a bit.
Roll around a bit. Find a rock. Bonk her on the head with the rock.
Yeah, over and over and over again.
Yeah,
it gets so bloody, but it's that kind of bloody where like one of them gets shot, but then like there's no hole. They don't have it.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
can't.
Yeah.
They had. They like,
oh, when she does get shot, Rumor Wills gets shot. She's like, oh, you dick!
you shot me,
fuck?
You silly bitch!
Yeah.
they backloaded this movie with all their special effects.
Yeah.
They have one of those scalpels.
Yeah.
You know the scalpels that have the blood that comes out of the blade?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you can cut it and it looks like
yeah.
But Rumor Willis does not know how to use one of these at all. To like convincing. So she's like supposed to be cutting the girl's cheek, but it's like she's just painting it on.
Yeah.
Like face painting.
She's
very
just
good.
Like, bleep, bleep,
and you get a heart here.
Yeah. And she looked like a kitty at the
end. So yeah, they fight. They bonk. She bonks her on the head.
Yeah, she bonks her on the head, and then
Rumor
she
Willis
gets
dies.
Away
she gets away, and that's pretty much it. Is
well,
it
like
oh,
the
Rumor
authorities
doesn't
show up.
Die.
Yeah, no, because the authorities show up or like ambulances. I'm like, why?
Yeah,
what?
All right, we got the detectives.
Yeah.
You ordered some detectives.
We're still waiting on the supervisor.
Yeah,
he's not on shift right now.
Mm-hmm.
So then the girl is safe and she's staying with some friends of hers who are also terrible actors.
And then her boyfriend calls and she's like, "Ignore."
Yeah,
I'm like what? Like,
yeah,
I'm like, you were both just part of a horrible fucking thing.
Yeah.
That lady killed his sister.
Yeah, and his mom just died.
Yeah.
Pick up the call.
Yeah, like, it's he wasn't a dick about it. Like,
he didn't send this person there.
Like, you know what, man? Fuck.
Yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to ghost him. He'll get the picture.
And then we have the best fucking ending of fucking time.
I totally forgot.
We flash back to the beginning, and you find out that the roommates at the beginning were the sister.
Yeah, Rumor Willis and the sister.
Yeah, Rumor Willis killed the sister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about how relationships don't work out, i.e. roommates, and how they have to move out. And this was just before Rumor Willis murders her. But they're but this is when the line comes back in of, man, God must be a woman because God's a fucking bitch or something. And then doesn't Rumor Willis fucking turn and look at the camera?
Yeah. Oh.
Like...
fade to black on the look at the camera.
Yeah, I was 100% sure, first of all, that she was going to have Michael Jackson cat eyes. And then wink.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So bad.
Unbelievable. I mentioned that Little Italy looked amateurish, but it is a fucking Ridley Scott epic compared to this.
Ugh.
This
movie
thing looks like
idea.
Dog shit all the time.
And the sound is not good.
No,
it just
everything
across
is
the
bad.
Board, it feels like a student picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, they are like sort of names. Like Emma Dumont was in she was in one of those shows like Heroes or Supernatural or something, like long running.
A professional television show.
Yeah, like professional show as like a long running character.
Like,
why did they do this?
Rumor Willis, like, if you... Oh, the whole time, by the way, I'm picturing Demi Moore and Bruce Willis having to sit and watch this. Like, she brings it over. She's like, this is the new thing I was working on.
Yeah.
Me and some friends got together on the weekend.
Did they do this just because it's like, well, this is an opportunity where, like, it's our movie. Like, you know, we get to do this. We got, like, it's going to be...
like the acting is there. It's all us. Like,
yeah.
It's a big role. I'm just going to be able to run the whole movie, the two of us.
Oh, like, absolutely. Rumor Willis was like, ooh, I get to play like this crazy meaty role of like the insane lady. But like, I feel like if somebody was like, here, say these lines and nothing else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like Rumor Wilson could possibly do a good job.
Yeah, well, she's been in movies as like the side character, and it's like, fine.
But this is, I was so happy because this was so bonkers and stupid. And I was like, I haven't seen that kind of clueless acting in a long time.
Yeah, it was good.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that you get in a, like a bad 80s movie. That, like, that kind of out to lunch acting, you don't, it doesn't really come up anymore because people have all figured out basically how to act. But that's fucking weird takes, long pauses.
Yeah, there was one part where I was in my own Mystery Science Theater because Rumor Willis goes, yeah, and you know what? And there's a long pause, and I'm like, I forgot my line. Because the look on her face just goes blank.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Fuck you.
It's so good.
You know what?
Oh, I love this
Eat
movie.
Jumbo fries.
Holy
Eat
shit.
Eat Jumbo Jumbos.
Oh, man.
Wonderful.
Just watch the trailer.
Yeah.
You'll know.
And then watch the movie.
Then watch the fucking movie.
Yeah.
And don't fast forward any bits because you need to experience.
I only did it once or twice near the end.
It's not a long movie.
No.
It feels like it. Yeah, it does feel like
it. Oh, my God.
The whole thing's on YouTube. Yeah. Right there waiting for you.
What lies ahead?
Oof.
Yeah.
Sequel.
Yes, please.
Well, tell me that's what lies
ahead. She's reading the news at the end after the ordeal is over, and the news is like, Rumor Willis is still on the loose.
Yeah. Who's casting her next?
Yeah, yeah.
There better be a sequel.
Okay, then now it's time for the Punishment album, which I gave you guys. I took you back to the Kinsella.
Never ending.
Yeah.
Kinsella stream of stuff.
Yeah, so a new project from the Kinsella.
Yep.
Tim Kinsella, and he did it with his wife. He did it with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's called Fuck.
Fuck Town. It's called Fuck Academy.
Yeah, and it's a album where they took a bunch of books and put them to beats and sexual exploration
good
or
something. Fuck.
Yeah.
Good fuck. They did what? They took books.
Yeah, did you not? I read it all out on the show. Where it was like, we picked a bunch on last week's episode. Like, we picked all these books, 12 books, and we decided we found all these different ways that we could incorporate them together on top of our own lyrics and like mashed them up. And
okay. See, because I was worried that I was hating the work of a bunch of different people, but it was still just their lyrics.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is too stupid.
I'm sure it was just like we took all these books and then took the themes or took words and quotes and
Yeah, this sucked. And it sounded like fake music for a movie making fun of like an art scene or something like that. Or if, like, in What Lies Ahead, they went to, like, an art installation, and this is the fake music playing there because they couldn't afford real music.
Yeah.
Because it just sounds and talking, and it's life. It has no personality. There's nothing interesting. Like, the electronic stuff that was done with the cousin Kinsella.
Mm-hmm.
The
Birthmark album, yeah.
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 Really interesting and unique.
Yeah.
And definitely its own identity. And this is just...
This is
some
nothing.
Fucking any schmo with a fucking laptop could make this.
This is literally... Like the production, like, listening to it... because I've been making, not music like this, but I've been making a lot of sort of... working with like a lot of found sound and stuff like that and like, you know, production manipulation. And so there's cool tricks on this album. Like I see, you know, like what you did to that synth or whatever to get the sound kind of thing. And so I was listening like that and kind of going like, okay, there's some, but usually you use those tricks in service of the song or in service of the piece of music. Mm-hmm. And this is just bleeps and bloops and fucking bullshit. And then just like...
It has no dynamics. There's no change or movement.
No,
it's just whatever the song sounds like in the first 15 seconds, it'll just stay that for 4 minutes.
And then just
and
people
then it's over.
Fucking farting over top of it.
Fucking sucks, man. I hate this guy.
And saying, like,
the only good album he has is the one where he didn't fucking sing or write the lyrics for.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Like, it's nothing. Like, this album is, from start to finish, the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's no differentiation between
and
within
utterly
the song or between songs.
Garbage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad I didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You were the you guys were the canary in the mine.
Yeah. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, and we died.
But his cousin.
Yeah. Cousin's got all the talent
you got
in the family.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Well, it's time for another Punishment album, right, Casey?
Yeah, or an experiment. I had a couple of ideas. First of all, there was that Avril Lavigne album that I was interested in perhaps giving you guys. But I was like, yeah, we already talked about that or whatever. And then I've been thinking about Gowan a lot lately, as one does. And I thought, like, why don't we listen? Maybe we should go back and listen to some Gowan. But, you know Gowan songs and you know what Gowan sounds like. And I think Gowan is fucking dope, but, you know, whatever. You don't have to talk about Gowan. So then I was, like, scrolling through new music, and there's a rapper, and his name is Dave. So,
oh, I know him.
All right, well, check out Dave's album, Psychodrama, because, like, apparently, like, he's from, like, the UK or something,
he's pretty good.
Like, yeah, Dave's cool, so, yeah. I don't know. Let's spend a week listening to Dave.
Neat.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
I'll check it out. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard this, so.
Mm.
Cool. Dave.
Dave.
Yeah, we'll do it. Well, next week we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about some movies. It is time to roll. Our winner movie this week is obviously going to be Us, the new film from Jordan Peele.
Mm-hmm.
And the loser is going to be another. You know, I went back to the Kinsella well. We're going back to the old well of Travolta.
Right.
Yes.
And what's the name of this movie?
Oh, what is it?
Trading Paints?
All right. What is it about? Is it about a painter?
It's like a
car driving the paint because the bumper's bumping up on your car.
Yeah. Give me your paint, he says.
Give me your paint.
Only if you give me some of yours.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll trade.
Yeah, look at my wig.
We'll do it at the same time, all right? 1, 2, 3, paint.
Boink. Yeah. Great. So that's going to be terrible, I'm sure.
We'll see.
Yeah, so we're going to roll. We're going to roll for those. Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
I know that the 2017 Dave album Game Over.
Yeah.
It's good.
All right.
Sweet.
Okay.
All right. Dave it up.
I'm rolling on the app again this week. Here we go.
4.
Oh, great.
4. I pressed that.
Yeah. This?
Yeah.
6.
Okay.
Die
down there. All right,
I'll probably get an 8.
12.
It's a
12. All right, 12 will
work too. Wonderful.
Yeah, you get to
trade. I don't get to see the fucking movie I'm dying to see.
No, you get to see
trade and paint. You get to trade that paint.
Trade that paint.
Don't you trade that paint.
Don't you fall in love with that paint, trader.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, next week we will trade paint. We will talk about Us. And we will talk about
sex,
Dave.
Baby.
We're just gonna trade some paint and talk about Us, bro.
Yeah,
buddy. Bring your
wicked.
Paint.
As
let's bring some paint. Let's just talk about Us.
Yeah.
See what's
and
up
Dave.
With Us
and Dave.
Dave's gonna be there.
Dave will be there.
Trade paint.
Yeah.
Hey, Us.
As always, we will see you next week when we
Me
talk
and
about
Dave.
All
trading
those
paint.
Things.
Talking about Us.
Dave, talking about Us. We will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet.
There's paint at the end of the day.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.